Well, on this Pentecost Sunday, take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 2. The Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost was that which was prophesied that God would do. And the prophet Joel spoke of those days. And maybe we'll read that in a minute, but it's been... This Spirit, when it came, it's identified as the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, it says, Peter said unto them, this is after he had spoken to them the word, the conclusion of what he wants them to do. It says, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, it says in the King James, which is the Holy Spirit. The word ghost is Old English for spirit. It's a gift. That which God has given for all men who are baptized, how are you supposed to be baptized? You are to be immersed, that's what baptized means, in the name of Jesus Christ. What did Peter teach that day? He taught them that that Jesus who was in Nazareth, that Jesus of Nazareth, is both Lord and Christ. Context. And that they needed to change their thoughts about Jesus to just some guy who grew up in Nazareth to understand that he was the Messiah. He was the Lord and he was the Messiah, the Christ. And when you are baptized in that name, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's it. When you get it straight, who he is, you receive the gift. It's a gift. It's not something you work for. It's not something, it's by faith. By faith in what? That this Jesus is the Lord and the Messiah, the Christ. And every single soul who believes that receives this gift. It's just, and this gift is your connection, your relationship with God. All right. Go to Ephesians here, chapter 2. Ephesians 2, start in verse 19. Or we'll start in 18. It says, now this is talking about all that Christ has accomplished. All right. It says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through him we both, talking about Jew and Gentile. Remember, everything before the day of Pentecost was basically to the Jew. All the promises, all the covenants, everything else. The Gentiles, which make up the majority of the people in this room, you can get nothing. You could be added to, you could believe and have faith like so many of the believers did in the Old Testament. The Moabites, I forget some of their names. I don't know why it escapes me. But my point is, you could be a proselyte. You could be a convert. But you still weren't in the full circle. You still didn't get a full share. In fact, the temple was set up that way. You had the Holy of Holies. You had the court of Israel, which was closest to the Holy of Holies. And then you had the court of the Gentile. And there was a wall separating that. So you got, you know, you had your God, your first class citizens, and your second class citizens. Because that's the way it was. See, it's not bad, it's just the way it is. Yeah, it was right. And that's why God set it up that way. The promises, the blessings, the covenants were made to Israel. They were not made to the Gentile. Why? Gentile just means everybody else besides Jew. Why? Because the Gentiles, our fathers, didn't choose him. But God's mercies was gracious enough to add the even back in those days. But when Christ did on the cross, he broke down that middle wall, a partition between the court of Israel and the court of the Gentiles. He broke down that middle wall and made of the two one new people for those who would accept that Jesus was the Messiah. Because it's by faith that we are saved, not of works. When you have that faith in his name, when you're baptized in his name, you receive the Spirit. And that Spirit is a gift. And that gift makes you a fellow heir with Christ, a child of God. No longer a servant like Israel, a child. That's bigger than most folks think. See, look at this again, 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit. That gift which you received when you believed, that came on the day of Pentecost. We both have access. Access. See, the children of Israel didn't have access directly to God, did they? No. Think about it. The whole Old Testament tells you you need a Savior. God's here. I'll let one guy, the high priest, come and enter into the Holy of Holies one day out of a year, and he's got to go through a week's worth of cleansing. And he better not come in without the blood of the sacrifice. And a few people did try to do that, and they got killed. They got whacked as soon as they walked in. The high priest's kids, remember Aaron? His two sons, they brought a strange fire, which means it was a fire that God didn't start himself. They made their own, they got their own bic out, and they got fried. I mean, how'd you like to lose your two kids just because, well, it's a hard thing, but God's not messing around. He's not. He wants you to know that he is a holy, holy. You do this his way or it's the highway. So the high priest could only show up one day in the presence of God. He's the only one that had access, and it was one day and not without the sacrifice. The priests, the rest of the priests, they got to serve in the court, but they never went into the Holy of Holies. They never had access to God. The children of Israel, you couldn't even come to the inner part. With your sacrifice, you brought it to the priest, then he sacrificed it for you on your behalf because you weren't even good enough to give it. And, so it goes back that way. The whole thing, you don't have access. I'll allow one man, one day, with a sacrifice on your behalf, the Day of Atonement. Now, because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, we, each, every one of us, individually, have access to the Father Himself anytime you want. Don't let it be taken for granted. Don't diminish the gift that we've been given. Not in your heart. See, you know, we act like, oh, well, you know, I can talk to God anytime I want. No big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal if you've read the Bible. It is a huge deal. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. We've got access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers. You're no more strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Talking to us Gentiles. You're no longer an alien. You're no longer an illegal alien. You're no longer somebody who doesn't belong, who's been given a visa. You now are a fellow citizen. That's something else I think people have missed the greatness of. With the citizenship comes a responsibility, comes privileges. They're to be appreciated and exercised. In our spiritual citizenship, our access to the Father is not to be taken lightly. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together and groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God lives in you through that Spirit. Best that was available before was God lived and showed His presence. Remember, He showed it on the mountain. He would show it in the tabernacle. He'd show it in the temple where His glory would be made known. All right? That was one location, and yet you can't really come close. And it was strict rules who could come. Now He lives within you. Those who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, those who have been baptized, immerse themselves in who He is, the Messiah. You've received that gift, and that gift is God habitating in you. Go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jesus Christ basically gives the class on what the Spirit is about. From John chapter 13, it's one of the things that He talks about, is John chapter 13 through 16. That's the foundational class on the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ gives. It's also the foundational class on how to live a Christian life. But I just want to focus on what we're speaking of as far as the Spirit is concerned here. In John chapter 14, start reading here in verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, talking to Philip. Well, let's read what Philip asked. In verse 8, it says, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. It'll be sufficient to us. You just show us the Father. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doth the works. God is the one working in Jesus. God, Almighty God, is the one. The Father is. The words that Jesus is talking about are his. And the works that Jesus is doing are from him. Okay? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And if you don't catch that, believe me for all the works that I've done. Verily, verily, the word verily, verily is truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ saying this personally, this would be blasphemy, wouldn't it? But he said it. So, and I know it's a little difficult to wrap around your head. I've certainly had a hard time with it over there. But the truth is that those who believe on him receive the gift. And you have now God dwelling in you as he dwelt in Jesus. And you can choose to humble yourself and to walk by his will and not your own, just like Jesus did, and speak the words that God puts in your mouth to speak to others, and also do the works that God says to do, like he did with our Lord. That's why it says in Philippians, it says, for it is God that works within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, not yours. Most Christians read that the other way. I read it the other way for years and years and years. Where it's God that's going to work within me to do what I want to do. Because I want to see all this stuff happen. That's how I thought about it. You know? And the mature ones, they die to themselves. And they live unto him. The immature ones do what they want to do. Spiritually. Just like kids. Kid wants to do what it wants to do, right? Doesn't matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent. It's all about them. Parents, they're constantly, no. You're supposed to do what I am telling you to do. This is how it works. Show us the Father. Philip, what are you talking about? God's been working in me. I've been speaking his words and doing his works. And those that believe on me are going to do the same. Even greater works than these shall they do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatsoever you ask, what's this predicated upon? You walking like Jesus. Again, people take verses out of context. You get anything that you ask in his name, as long as you're living the way he lived, speaking the words, discipline, and doing the works. That means you're not doing your own. You're not thinking, you don't want a pink Cadillac. Pink Cadillac goes back to the 50s. You ain't asking for a pink, no, you're, what would you have me to do, Lord? That's what you're, and whatever you ask in his name in that category, it's yours. Now, is God merciful? Does he? Yes, he is. But the principle is that you're doing this like Christ did. Anything Christ wanted, Christ got. Why? Because he always did the Father's will. He always did the Father's will. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another. The word comforter is the word paraclete. Another counselor. Paraclete is a legal term. It's an English word. It's parakletos in the Greek, but it's paraclete in English. Paraclete is a counselor. I'll give you another counselor. That he may abide with you forever. And that word forever is another Greek word, aion, which means until the end of the age. It's until the age to come, until the end of this age. It says in Corinthians, when the Lord returns, we have no need of the Spirit, because we will be changed. Even the Spirit of truth. This is what's coming. This is this new counselor. The new counselor that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to pray for, that the Father sends. This, it is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, it neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, this counselor, God was in Christ. It says in Corinthians, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, right? Well, this counselor is with them. Who's with them? This counselor, this spirit, is in Christ. Where is Christ? He's sitting in the room with these guys, with them. But it shall be in you. Shall, as in future, it's going to be in you. Who was their guide? Who was their counselor? Who had the Spirit? Who was their teacher? The Lord Jesus Christ. This, I'm going to pray the Father, and he is going to give you another. The word another is another in the Greek. It's another of the same kind. It's like having Christ personally present with you all the time. And having his counsel all the time. This is what came on Pentecost. Hasn't come yet. He's talking about it as it's coming. So then it says here, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and right now it's in the person of Christ, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. The word comfortless is the word orphanos. Guess what word we get from that? Orphan. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to orphan you. I ain't leaving you alone. I will come unto you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father. When this thing happens, on that day, you are going to understand it. I mean, Philip's asking the question, remember? Thomas, Philip, the rest of them. They don't get it yet. But in that day, at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. When this Spirit is poured out, you're going to experience this. And you're going to understand that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. It says in Colossians 1:27, for it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have his counsel. You are not alone. You haven't been orphaned. You are never alone. You can ask, and you're in his presence. You don't have to go to a temple. You don't have to go to a building. You don't have to go anywhere, because everywhere you are, he's with you. You have this Spirit, which is called the Spirit of Truth. It'll guide you into the all truth. And when you read the Bible, and all of a sudden it lights up in your understanding, you just got taught by the Spirit of God within you, that counselor. Yeah. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. This is how Jesus Christ tells you exactly what it means to love God and to love him. They define the terms, not anybody else. These are the terms that he speaks of. He that hath my commandments, he's got my words, and he keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And Judas, God bless his heart for being there and asking these questions, because I really wanted to know this one. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, this wasn't Judas Iscariot, this was the other Judas. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not the world? How are you going to do this? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode. We will come and live with him. This is how God and Lord Jesus Christ manifested themselves unto us. How important is this Spirit? This gift. He that loveth me not, he keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine. I'm not thinking this stuff up, but the Father which sent me. This is God's command. This is God's rule. These are God's standards. And Jesus Christ is letting us know what they are. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Counselor, which is the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Spirit is going to teach you, guide you, and bring to your remembrance the things the Lord Jesus Christ said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I say I go to my Father, and my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you might believe. See, they're not locked in. Because they don't have the Spirit. Peter and the rest of them are going to, when Jesus gets crucified here, they're going to leave him for dust. They're about as loyal as a cat. They're gone. They've been with Jesus. He's been teaching them. They've seen signs, miracles, and wonders. At the end of this night, at the end of this teaching here, the soldiers are going to come, and these guys are going to be gone. And Peter shows himself, and then he denies the Lord, just like the Lord says you're going to do. I don't know this man. And they leave him for dust to suffer for himself. There's no courage in them. There's no anything in them at this point, because they don't have the Spirit. It says that they're behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. They're hiding under the table. And the resurrection. Jesus Christ has got to go in his resurrected body. Jesus has got to go find them. They're fishing. They went back fishing. They quit. Thomas says, I ain't going to believe unless I stick my finger in his side. These are the apostles without the Spirit. Without the Spirit, men fold like a towel. But then Jesus gets them, says, you hang out at Jerusalem, and when the Spirit comes, all of a sudden, they're standing in front of thousands of people and the same leaders that crucified and killed Jesus. And Peter stands up with the 11, and he boldly speaks the word. He says, you men of Israel, hearken unto me. This Jesus, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, this man, it's by this man and by his resurrection that you see what you see here today, the outpouring of the Spirit. And he tells them, this man who you know as Jesus of Nazareth is Lord and Christ. And God got him up. Repent. Change. And he's doing this in front of the very people who killed Jesus. What happened? He got the Spirit. It's like a switch. You go from being a coward to a man like the Lord Jesus Christ, fearless. Why? Because you have that gift. Because now you have Christ in you. You have, in that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. And Peter knew it. It took away his fear. And it gave him, my peace I leave unto you. Not that it wasn't a terrifying day, but it wasn't anything to be feared, because he had the Spirit within him, because he knew that he knew that he knew. The 15th chapter gives you how this works, how this habitation works. This is how it abides. You know, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you stick in me, if you stay in me, you stay connected, you're going to have fruit. And if you don't stay connected with me, then you're firewood. Can we get any plainer? It's an illustration of how what Jesus Christ has just told them, what I've read to you, is true. But it's how it works in a very real sense. He is the vine, we are the branches. If we stay connected to, and he tells you how, by his words. So if you love me, you keep my words. Well, if you stay connected to his words and live the way he tells you to live, then you're going to bear fruit. And your fruit will remain. And the Father will continue to build, and he'll make it even more fruitful. Because he's like the farmer. But if you don't, you're firewood. And firewood gets cast in the fire. That's all it's good for. What a gift. What a gift this is. See, go back here for a second, verse 9. In chapter 14, it says, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how saith to us then, Show us the Father? Go to Hebrews chapter 1. This is not double talk. So many people read this like this is double talk or some kind of secret code. It's plain if you don't get too weird on it. Hebrews chapter 1. If you've seen the Father, if you've seen me. Is that some kind of weird spiritual double talk? No. Look at how it says it here. God, who in sundry times, in many, many, many different ways and times, and in divers many manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed to be heir of all things. By him also, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his, God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the brightness, the Lord Jesus Christ, the brightness of God's glory. He is the express image. When you saw him, you saw the Father. The image is not the person. When I look in a mirror, you see my image. If you shoot the image, you shoot the mirror. You're not shooting me. It's the same, don't get weird on it. Jesus Christ was the reflection, the image. When you saw the Lord Jesus Christ speak and act and love and walk among God's people, he always did the will of the Father, and he was as if the mirror image of his Father. You want to know God's attitude towards things? Just look at Jesus Christ's attitude towards things. God hates religion, so did the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates hypocrites. That's obvious with the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner, you're welcome. Just change. Forgiveness, it's right there. Judas betrayed him, and he washes his feet. And he encourages him and loves him, and yet still lets him do what he's got to do. Lets him go. You want to do it? Go do it. It's exactly how God deals with his people. We get to see, and I love the way it says it, the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of God's power. He upheld everything by the word of, talking about Almighty God's word. The words I speak to you, they're not mine, but the Father, which sent me. How plain can it be? He has spoken unto us. In these last times, by his Son. Same God spoke unto the children of Israel by the prophets. But in these last times, he's spoken to us. And this man, this, his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was the mirror image. Moses was good, but he wasn't that good. Abraham was good, but he wasn't that good. There was none worthy except the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, in verse 26, it says, but when the Comforter, this Counselor, the Parakletos, the Paraclete, is come unto you, is come whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. What is he going to do? He's going to testify of me. He is going, that's what testify really is about. Testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. You, when the Spirit works within you, you're going to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I haven't been with the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning. I've never seen him in person. Neither have you. They did. But you have the Spirit, and you can testify personally of the Lord Jesus Christ. Personally. Because he lives within you. These things have I spoken unto you, that you that you should not be offended. But they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time will come, cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God's service. And these things, you know, I always love this about our Lord. He tells you everything up front. He doesn't give you just the happy parts. He tells you exactly the way it's going to go. So why be surprised? It's just so crystal clear. They're going to think that they do God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you shall remember that I told you of them. And these things I say unto you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me whither goest thou. But because I have said these things, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. It is absolutely necessary. It is better for you that I go away. And it's to your benefit. That's hard to take. But it's the truth. So this is what you have to do. Hey, show me, Lord. Help me understand this. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the counselor, the parakletos, the paraclete will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into the all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going, see, the Spirit is not a person. The Spirit is a counselor. It doesn't speak of itself. It doesn't have its own personality. It is the means by which you get the counsel of the Lord. The same counsel that he would give you in person. You get, because it receives of the Lord's and shows it unto you. He receives of mine and shall show it unto you. He does not speak of himself. That's it. This is what it says. There's few other verses in here, but none of them contradict what I'm reading you. Read what it says. Who gave the information to Christ? God. Who's given the information to Christ still? God. And how do we get the information? From Christ. Through the Spirit that we got. Who got the information from? God. That doesn't diminish you. Doesn't diminish the Lord Jesus Christ. But it does keep God where he belongs. There's one God. And he shall glorify me, verse 14, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, saith I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Who has given all things unto the Lord Jesus Christ? The Father. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go unto my Father. What an awesome, wonderful gift. There's no way any one of us could have prayed our way into having the Spirit. There's no way that any one of us could have been holy enough to receive such a gift by work. This is a gift. A real, genuine gift is received graciously. And a real, genuine gift, there's no payback. You know, some people give you a gift, but then they expect something back. You know what I mean? You scratch my back, I scratch. That's not a gift. That's a bribe. That's an angle. That's a lot of things, but it isn't a gift. A real gift is given and expecting nothing in return. God has given you the gift. It's up to you what you do with it. Those that love him, keep his commandments. And those who don't, they don't keep his commandments. That's how you prove your love. He's given you the ability. He's given you the counsel. He's given you everything that you need to get to do this thing right. He's given it to you. It's now your choice. It says in Ephesians, don't frustrate the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit doesn't make you do anything. It's there for your counsel. Do you want to know? Do you want the help? Do you desire to walk? It'll be there to help you do it. And if you don't, you will frustrate. You will grieve the Spirit of the living God within you. The Spirit is not your salvation, by the way. Get that straight. Because you got the Spirit don't mean you're saved. And it certainly doesn't mean you can't sell out the Lord. Spirit is what it says it is. It's your guide, it's your counselor, it's your help. You receive it as a gift. It's up to you what you do with it. You can get a gift and squander it, or you can get a gift and treasure it. That's up to you. Your salvation is based upon, do you keep the faith unto the end? Do you keep that faith unto the end? So that's just a little bit of what I thought I'd share with you on Pentecost Sunday. You guys got any questions? Oh, thank you.